I feel it. Can't help but see it. Can't help but know it. All you need to know is to know that God is with us. Emmanuel. Shout it. Emmanuel. God with us. Always and forever. Never a minute and never a day. Never a time that God is not present in His fullness. So go ahead. Clap a little loud. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God, all you people. Don't you know He is the same? He is the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the everlasting one. God with us. The Lord our peace, the Lord our joy, the Lord our comfort. The Lord your strength. The Lord your shepherd. You shall not want. I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Come on. I don't want anything. I don't want anything, yet I want it all. Yet I want it all. I don't want anything. How about this? I don't need anything, but I want it all. I don't need anything, but I want it all. I don't need anything, but I want it all. Don't need anything, but I want it all. We can't please God because of things that we do or things that we give Him. We please the Lord because that we receive from Him. It's not the gifts that we bring Him. It's the gifts we receive from Him. Because it's only by His gift that we can please Him. It's not by works, the Scriptures tell us. God said, otherwise you'd be boasting in yourself and you make yourselves gods, and then you're worshiping a vain idol. But what empowers you, really, really empowers you, is receiving all that He has to give. And all that He has is all that He has to give. And that's what makes you so powerful. If you would simplify it, you can take your seats, but stay right here. If we would just simplify it and say, there isn't anything that I can conjure up. There isn't anything that I can do to just make things happen the way I want them to, or to really be right with God. But there is something you can receive, and that's everything that He is. Everything that He is. God wouldn't dole Himself out in small pieces or quantities. He's not giving us enough just to get us by until. Think about it. Think about the nature of Christ. Think about the nature of God. The Scriptures tell us that Jesus ascended on high, far above all dominions, all the heavens, that He might fill the entire universe. He's done that. Say, He's done that. He's ascended on high so He could fill the entire universe. And there is a coming together of heaven and earth, as the Scriptures say, till heaven and earth unite. Till. I say, it's time. This is that time. Think about Peter. Think about the disciples, how they thought. People that walked with Christ. And when the Holy Spirit came, Peter knew the prophecy of Joel He knew the prophecy. He knew the prophecy was about the last days, the end of time. And when the Holy Spirit came on and in Peter, this is Peter's vision. This is how he saw it about 2,000 years ago. He said, this is it. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is it. Saying, in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now, remember what Jesus said to Peter before he ascended. He said, when Peter, and this is after Peter has walked with Christ, he said, Peter, when you are converted, you will strengthen the church. When Peter was filled with the Spirit, he says, this is that. So I pray today that God would quicken your spirit to understand this is that. This is that. You know, for many years, especially in my youth growing up, I remember always thinking and just kind of looking up and going, Jesus, you're coming any day. You're coming any day. And I was really, really, really close. And it almost felt like the vision that I can share with you is like Jesus standing right beside me and he's saying, yeah, let's wait for it. When do you think it's coming? And like any day. Just any day. Jesus in his loving kindness, just like standing right there going, yeah, well, why don't we wait together? And I realized, wait a minute. You're here. You're here. You're with us. I believe in the glorious appearing of the Lord, just like most people. Well, maybe different. But I don't read the scriptures anymore when he comes. I read it as he comes. You see? As he comes. From one form of glory to another form of glory. Which one is greater? Which glory of God will we say, okay, God, you outdid yourself, man. That one, that was your best, okay? I mean, that topped them all. That would never happen. We'd never say that. But not when he comes as though he is gone, but as he comes in various and wondrous glories every single day. God wants every generation to know they didn't miss his coming. Your mama, your daddy, your grandpa, they went to the grave. But you know what I honestly think happens when the righteous die? I think because without revelation like this, I think they just say, I'm tired of waiting, I'm going. And I think they just go. They just go. Like Paul said, he said, I can go anytime, but you need me here. Let's not wait for the Lord. Let's wait in the Lord. And every form of glory that he reveals from his heavens, from the earth, is going to be because he has taken on a body that can see his appearance from glory to glory. And if you wonder what the change is going to look like, I want to share that with you today. Because we waited long enough. Why stand you here gazing? Go and do what the Holy Spirit has empowered you to do. Peter stands up. This is it, guys. Can you imagine? This is it. This is that which was spoken. This is the fulfillment of prophecy. PFC is the name out there on the doorpost. prophetic fulfillment church. We're here to walk in the fullness of all that has been prophesied. And the Spirit that brings every word of prophecy to pass dwells on the inside of you. And I want you to take authority over this day and accept it, believe it, and receive it as the greatest day of your life. Can you do that? Yeah. Give the Lord a shout. Yeah. I want to read a scripture to you today, and I want you to listen to me, because within the theme of this message, within the totality of this word, you will hear prophetic word that will speak to you. And not only will you hear words speak to you, but God will quicken something on the inside of you that is there in the fullness that God wants it to be. Whatever that is, whatever your future is, whatever you sense your destiny to be. Matt Crouch, word of the Lord, as I'm walking down the stairs today is this: God will show you aggressive favor and honor in the sight of those that hear your anointing. Everything that God is has to be where He is. Everything that God gave, He gave into Christ. Okay, Christ is a big deal. If you don't know this, I'm telling you here and now, Christ is a big deal. It doesn't get any bigger. And we know that God has no beginning. But God does have beginnings. The Word says Jesus was the beginning of the firstborn. Do you know what that means? It literally means that for the first time, God became man. And then man rose from the dead, which He couldn't do on His own. No one can. No one ever has. God had to raise them. And Jesus said, "Of My own authority, I am raised by the glory of the Father." And then man became spirit. Pretty amazing, right? Jesus is a very big deal. God is serious. And there are two approaches typically to God. One is a very religious approach, where you can think based on how well you articulate your prayers to God, or how much you talk to God, that He may hear you. And both these approaches are inaccurate. I'm going to describe the next one. The next one is coming very disrespectfully to God. Just talking to Him like He's your bud. He's not your bud. He's a holy God. And He will show you how holy He is. And He will show you how to approach Him. And God likes you on your knees. Now, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be on your physical knees, but He wants you on your knees in your heart before Him, because He is a holy God. He is not just a holy God. He is the one and the only holy God. And He says there isn't anybody else. So I want to tell you, there isn't any other hope anyplace else. And if Christ isn't your Savior, your Lord, and your Redeemer, what's the point? What's the point in life? Billy Graham once said, he was in his 90s, and he once said this, he said, "A life without Christ is like a pencil without a point." What's the point? If your pencil isn't sharpened, what's the point? If your arrow isn't sharpened, what's the point? God sharpened your arrow. So the point hits the target and penetrates and makes a difference. So whatever it is that God knows is necessary to do in you, He's going to do. Your senses may not appreciate it. You may not enjoy it based on what you know to be enjoyment. But I want to tell you something. God will show you a joy that exceeds what you think is joyful, what you think is pleasant. If you do one thing, believe God. Now, believe in Him. Of course you believe in Him. But you have to believe what He said is the only way it is. Believe God. He said it. That's the way it is. And if you do that, then you really believe the Lord is your shepherd and you see something that will keep you from being disappointed. You'll know that you don't want. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't, I shall not, and I cannot want. How many are alive today? How many are breathing today? Okay? Pretty simple. You're alive and you're breathing. But if I told you to pay attention and to breathe normally. I want everyone right now, I want you to just breathe normally. Just do what I'm telling. Breathe normally. Do you hear me? Breathe normally. No, breathe normally. Before you know it, you're going to be... Because the nature of breath is the gift of God. It's called life. And God breathed the Ruach into man, and man became a living soul. Okay? So God made soul alive by His Spirit. But if you think about doing something that is the nature by which God has given it to us as a gift, it becomes labored. And something that shouldn't be so hard, becomes difficult, becomes laborious, makes you short of breath. That's religion. It's what it does to you. Points its finger at the wrong things to look at and to pay attention to. Tells you that when something goes wrong, that the devil is there, but because he's going to try to stop you. I'm going to be honest with you, the devil isn't going to try to stop you. If you're born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, he isn't going to try to stop you. You have a covenant with the Father that he cannot breach. And if you'll read the Word for what it is, you'll see that that is the truth. He cannot, shall not, no weapon formed against you can prosper. I'm laying a foundation for a reason. I know you've heard me say this many, many times. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Okay? So if someone shoots an arrow at you from a distance too far to reach you, it would be foolish for you to put up a barrier against you or for you between you and that arrow because it's not going to reach you. No weapon formed can prosper. It can't reach you. No evil will come nigh your dwelling. Now you either believe God or you kind of get into that religious thing and you start making it difficult. Okay? And if you will believe these things, you will be able to understand and interpret the movements of life as the gift that they are to you. Iron sharpens iron. You can take a stone. I don't know if you've ever sharpened a knife before. I do it all the time. I do it in the kitchen for my wife. I've gotten pretty proficient at it. Stick it in the board and say, try that on that tomato. And then if it slices it clean and easy, I walk away like, yeah, I did it. But if I take that blade and the angle of approach is aggressive against the blade, it does the absolute opposite. The same stone that sharpens the blade dulls the blade. That's religion. We got to get away from it. You don't have to worry about the devil. He can't touch you. It's religion you have to watch out for. And religion teaches you things like you have to wait for God to make His presence known to you. That you have to do the very best you can. Your best isn't good enough. I think there's a song. But my best just wasn't good enough. I don't know how it goes, but there's a song about that. And it isn't. But at the same time, you have to realize that there is a power that indwells you to where obeying God is not difficult because it's no longer I that lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. See, these simple scriptures that you know very well, I pray I bring them to light so you can determine whether or not you really believe them or if it's religion to you. Because if you believe them, you're going to move forward into a dimension where God will begin to do with you just like He did with Chris. God is going to show up and you're going to realize you're not far away at all. Man, I can't go to sleep without... If Christ is in us, how many believe Christ is in you? Or I want you to raise your hand if you believe it. Stick your hand in the air. Okay, if He's in us, how can He come for us? Wouldn't He have to come with us? Now He's appearing just like He said. Every way Jesus said He is going to appear, He is going to appear in every way that he said. And I believe that forever, and I will forever believe it. But how can he do it for us when he can't do it without us? How can he come for me if I'm already with him? And then I see the scripture totally different. And when we see him, as we're seeing him today, we will be like him. We will appear with him, for we will see him as he is, not as he's going to be. So it makes us look at something that Jesus said a great more in depth when he said, you're looking for the kingdom here and they're telling you it's coming there. And he says, you do understand that the kingdom does not come with observation, right? And I know a lot of them went, no, actually we don't. I mean, we've been told that you're coming and you're going to set up a kingdom. That's what the prophet said. So that's what we're waiting for. And if you're him, then let's get on with it. Right? That's what they said. He said, you don't understand. So Peter comes up to him one time, and Peter says to him, when Jesus is saying, I have to go to the cross, and I have to suffer many things, and Peter rebukes him. And then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So that must have been the devil and not Peter that was talking to Jesus, right? Or was that Peter? How many know who it was? It was Peter? Are you sure? Okay, thank you. So if he said that to Peter, what was he talking about? Well, Peter was speaking, in a sense, not understanding that his salvation was right there. And Jesus was saying, don't resist your salvation. Jesus wasn't rebuking him because he was upset with him. Jesus rebuked him because he loved him. He said, for this purpose I came into the world. When Jesus ascended on high, this is what he said. He said, it is expedient, important, of the utmost essence, the utmost importance, that I leave you in the form that you are looking at me now, because you cannot see me for who I am, looking me as you do. And we know that because the word says, when Jesus asked them, who do you think I am? And they said, well, one of the prophets. And Peter said, no, I know who you are. Do you hear this? You hear this sense of awareness? I know who you are. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, there's no way you could have known this. But wait a minute. What is Jesus talking about? Peter's looking right at him. But he said, there's no way you could know this except the Father revealed it by his Spirit. Are you hearing the theme here? Are you tracking with me? What Jesus is saying is there's only one way you're going to know me. And it is not when I come. It is as I come. You're going to have to hear me by the Spirit. And to do that, you're going to have to know that I am ever present with you. Just as the Father, he said, Father, be with them just exactly as you are with me. How was God with Jesus? How was the Father with Jesus? In his fullness. So we can see the next glory of his appearing. We got to get there. It's all about revelation. See, revelation isn't the end of the book. It's actually the beginning. Revelation is the beginning of the story. Not just the book of Revelation, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He wants us to know it's happening today. He wants us to Peterify it. He wants us to say, this is that. We're not waiting for the day. We're experiencing the day from day to day. And the glory of God's appearing, hear me loud and clear. The glory of God's appearing is not as you suppose. When Jesus was talking about his appearing, and in Revelations, the word says many will see him and run away from him. Run and call for the rocks to fall on him. Well, if you're seeing him for who he is, you're going to be changed into the image. You wouldn't be running away from him. You would be running to him. Eye cannot see, ear cannot hear. Neither can it enter into the heart of man the things that God is doing, bringing, preparing, and showing you. Yet the Holy Spirit is revealing. Now, what is the Holy Spirit revealing to us today? Almighty, ever-present, omni-God. The Lord is with us. Jesus said this. He said, the world will look at you and they will not know who you are because they don't know me. They will not know who you are. Matt, Chris, Anton, anyone else that would choose to believe, Steve, they're about to know who you are because you are seeing him as he is, not as he's going to be. See, we have to watch. We have to read the Scripture according to the Spirit of God and the character of God and believe what he said. I can't leave you. How can he come back to take us out of trouble when we're with him to come and decimate trouble? How could he ever leave you or forsake you? He's not coming to take us out of a problem. He's coming to magnify the problem through the body. So there is, as he said, there will be a great divide. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm going to tell you, you've only just begun. Because when the light shines in the darkness, it becomes very clear who is light and who is dark. God is setting up our nations and preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And your cup is going to run over. You're not running from them. You're walking right into them saying, let's sit down and dine, just like Jesus did when the religious folks got mad at him because they said he's sitting there eating with sinners, tax collectors, and wine bibbers. And Jesus said, no, I came into the world because it is not the well, but the sick that need a physician. You are about to become body, a dividing light of truth and wisdom and righteousness that, as God said in the beginning, they will bow before you, not to you, before you, knowing that you acknowledge the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, the King of heaven and earth. God isn't going to take us out because the world is so bad. He put you here so it could know that it's going to be and is the time of being so good. You're telling me our victorious God is saying, I got to get them out of there before they're destroyed. When has God ever done that? But rather say, I am coming to demonstrate the power. Remember, Jesus is coming. Every single day. It's not when, as. And in what form did he promise us that he would appear? Know you not? You are the body of Christ and members in particular, and you are not your own. Jesus doesn't need any saving. He is the Savior, and he's empowered you. But you have to take on the same mind as the centurion soldier, as blind Bartimaeus, as the woman with the issue of blood. A lot of people around pushing, poking at Jesus religiously, but you got to touch the virtue of who he is. And when you do, there is a difference between the crowd and the one that Jesus said, someone touched me. And the disciples said, everyone is putting their hand on you. He said, no, I didn't say that. Someone touched me. Someone saw me. Someone knows I'm here. Someone knows I am here. When Nathanael said to Jesus, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God, Jesus said, Nathanael, he said, you will see the heavens of God, Nathanael. You will see the heavens of God open and the angels of the Lord descending upon the Son of Man. We need those experiences. And if your faith tells you it isn't here yet, you won't see it, no matter how bright it is. We need to see the glory of the Lord's coming, just like he said, I'm coming back soon. And guess what? He did, and he is with us. And every glory that he said he would appear in, he will appear in every glory, just like he said. But it's not a day to wait for. It's a day to live in. Not when he comes, as he comes. The Lord our God is with us. And if you will allow yourself to break away from religion, which is the great Satan of the earth, you will see God. And he will be able to speak to you. He will come to you. I'm no different than anyone else. He's come to me numerous times, and I've looked at him, and I've talked to him, and he's directed me, and he's corrected me, and he's instructed me. I've opened my eyes, and I've seen physically the presence of the glory of the Lord in the form of an angel. He will reveal himself to you. He'll take you places in the spirit you've never been before and show you what's going to come to pass, just exactly like he said. He said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, but he doesn't want you being overwhelmed and feeling like you need to get out of Dodge because the Cowboys are riding in. He wants you to know that, hey, he's made you the quick draw. You're the one that ends up saying, the victory is mine, says the Lord. God is present with us so we can see the glory of God, so we can see, for the word of God is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, as is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's you. God knows no beginning because he is all time. But only God could create his beginning as man, and he did it. The word says, and he was the beginning of the firstborn of man, and the firstborn from the dead. God became man. Why? Because he loves us. But why didn't he just love us and just go, "It's you're forgiven because I love you"? Why did the Spirit of God make himself man? The word says God is not a man. God is a spirit. And the word calls him the invisible God. Because God wanted his faith. See, faith isn't a tool. We talked about this. Faith isn't a tool that we pull out of our spiritual toolbox and say, okay, I'm going to use this faith to get this job done. You know, I need to build this thing, so here's my spiritual hammer, my spiritual saw, and my spiritual screwdriver, and we call it faith. No, that's not your tool. Faith isn't your tool. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? From who? In his what? And no, you know, you know the word. Every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. Meaning when he does it, he ties himself to it. God tied himself, he bound himself to humanity when he sent his son. And he can't get away. Not saying he wants to. Sometimes I've wondered. But he can't, because he's bound himself to mankind by his word. So why did he make man? Because faith isn't your tool. Faith is a virtue of God. Faith is a part of who God is. Remember, out of nothing he spoke, and out of what did not exist, he made all things. That's faith. That's God. And he said, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you faith. But I'm giving you a will as man. Just like he gave angels a will as angels. But the difference is they saw God all the time. They saw him. So they don't need the faith you and I need. See, you have even a little different faith than Peter or John, or all the apostles, because they saw him. They beheld him, and they told you. We're telling you what we have seen with our eyes and felt with our hands. To this we are testifying, we have seen him. And that was their faith. They went out, and people began to get saved and filled with the Spirit, and they said, how is it they believe like we believe? We know why we believe. We've seen him. We touched him. We heard him with our ears. We've seen him with our eyes. But you have not seen him. How is it you believe like us? See, you're that people. You're a generation down the road, about 2,000 years time passed. This is a unique faith generation. Do you realize that? I can't lean on my great-great-great-great-grandfather and he says, I remember Jesus Christ. Well, I wouldn't have that many greats. Well, I could if I lived back then. But it's the nurturing nature of God to give you who he is. And it's the only way that you can please him. It's not by what you do, by what you receive. But when you receive who he is, that's what you do. He said, your body is dead. But you have to believe that. So he can't come and save me out of trouble when I'm not here anymore in trouble. The body of trouble is dead. Yeah, but I had this trial and this... Oh, you forget what James said. Count it all joy. He didn't say go out and rebuke the devil. He said, count it all joy when you enter different kinds of the trying of your faith, knowing that the trying of your faith makes you steadfast. What do you mean? You know I'm here, you know I'm with you, no matter what it is you experience, and it transforms your inside so you can see me for who I am, so there isn't a trial that throws you overboard. Paul said, don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes, and the church is rampant with it today. Our songs are rampant with us. Do you realize a lot of our songs are worship songs or not worship songs at all? We get up and sing about who we are and what he's done for us and where we were and how he delivered us. Those are songs of ministry and that's fine, but they're not worship songs. It's too much you. I don't love God because of what he did for me. I love him because he revealed who he is to me. Because you can never get him to do enough for you, and you all know that. No matter what he does, you always need something else done. But to know who he is makes me understand, I have lacked nothing. God will give you tremendous things. But this generation is going to see Christ appear. We're going to see his appearance in a way we've never seen it before. And you have to realize the appearance of the Lord is another form of his glory. God gave man faith because that's God giving himself. That's God's virtue. Your ability to connect with him. Your ability to believe a word that you could never believe on your own if you couldn't prove it out. But you can believe it because God gave you who he is. The reality of God said it will come to pass. That same reality, that same virtue that is in God himself when he said, let there be light. Let there be season. Let there be the earth. Let there be, and out of nothing, he formed everything. That's not your tool, and it's not in your toolbox. That's the nature of God dwelling on the inside of you. So every single time you do something by faith, and especially if you don't see something happen, God's virtue is just being manifest in you. You should thank God that you have enough revelation to know that I'm going to do something by faith. And the answer of the Lord is the answer of the Lord. Your joy will return. Your confidence will return. Peace will flood your mind because even your chemistry knows when it's in the presence of God. God said, I want a form, and I want that form to be faith. And the word says the invisible God took on the form of man. What was God's answer to wanting to see his form? The word says Jesus became the form of the invisible God. He did it because it was the will of God, which tells us what? God wants a form. And that form isn't just your body. This is a temple. That form is the faith of God that dwells in you that says, He can't come and save me out of trouble, because if I'm in trouble, He's in it with me because He's with me. And that was the faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Listen to what they said. You can do whatever you want to us, but there's only one God, and our God will deliver us. But whether it happens the way we see it or not, no, O king, we will not be slow to answer you. We will not bow down and serve any other god. So God proved, well, if you're in trouble, don't sweat it, because I'm in trouble with you. But when I step in the darkness, there is no darkness. Even darkness is light about me. So where could I go from the presence of the Lord, and where could I flee from His Spirit? If I go to the farthest corners of the earth, there you are. There your hand leads and guides me. If I make my bed in Sheol, where would you be? Right there with me. Where can I go from the presence of the Lord, and where can I flee from His Spirit? You will lead me and you will guide me. At all times your light will shine upon me. Dark world. We need the light. Jesus said, it is important that I go because I am the light of the world. But He said, when I go, the body becomes the light of the world. And if you will shine and outshine religion and recheck what you believe, and make sure it lines up with who God is and not just what some preacher has been telling you all of your life, you will see a different form of God's glory. See, the Word says we are supposed to go from one form of glory to another form, but we stay in the same desperate form, just waiting for something to come and take us out of a place where we don't need a form. We want an adaptable nature. And you don't have one. We want everything to be user-friendly, and we want to be approachable. Come on, we got to be approachable. You're not asking people to come and hear the word of the Lord. You're asking people to like you and what you do. Maybe a few less people in churches where the glory of God is revealed. It's like it was back in the day, if we tell the truth. But when the body starts walking in that power, you may be amazed at how filled with the power of God churches become, because that day is coming. And God has made you a voice and a leader for that revelation, a staff carrier of authority and power to declare this is what the word of the Lord is. Because you've even questioned whether or not you're worthy enough, and sometimes afraid to even ask. But God says, I've quickened you by my Spirit to inquire, and I've given you the boldness enough to want to hear the truth. And because of that, I've put the staff in your hand, Moses. Remember Moses? He had a stick in his hand. And it didn't seem very powerful, kind of like the body today. We're waiting for this power to come. Hear the word. It will never come. It has come. And if you can't see that, you're no different than the religious people back in the day that saw Jesus, heard His voice, saw His miracles, Spirit of God descend on Him like a... Don't tell me if we see another form that is going to change us. No, you won't. When you become another form, it will change. That's when it changes. Paul said, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Paul was a form, and he stayed in that form of religion and tradition until God blinded him and said, Paul, this is a man, listen, this is a man that kept the word better than even people that were far older than he was, very schooled, very learned in the word. He knew the law inside and out, and he didn't have a bad heart. He had a conviction for the works of the law. God blinded him and said, "You're fighting against me, Paul." Religion is doing the same thing. And we wonder why our world gets so upside down, why our economy sways back and forth, why we have to fall on our face before God in order to see our nation begin to elevate. If you'll drive yourself to your knees, you won't be driven to your knees. Remember that. That power lies within your hands. Surrender yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you. And He will show you great and mighty things, inscrutable things you do not know. God wanted the form of the church. It's called the body. We are called the firstborn, meaning this has never existed before. Christ, when He came, He was called the first, the only begotten of the Father, because God had never become man before. Are you following me? God's glory takes on many forms. And when His glory takes on a form according to the will of the Father, and it won't take on any other form, people will begin to know you. And the Word says, and they will look at you and they will call you blessed. They will call you priests of the Most High God. And you will become priests and kings unto me, right here where we are today. There's only one thing that's going to make that a reality. Believe God. Believe Emmanuel. God is with me in His fullness and in His power. I look up someday and the heavens of God are rent in two and I see another glory of God. Guess what? I'm going to be walking in the present glory of God. And I and the Father will walk in the unity of who He is in me. I can't get myself any place from here to there. It's going to take God to do it. And if heaven and earth are going to unite, it's going to be because we have realized the Lord is ever present with us and we become the body of Christ in His fullness, as the Word says, till you all come into the knowledge of the fullness of God and become fully mature to the full measure of the body of Christ. That's not happening up there. That's happening right here and now. This is the greatest season of your lives. Why don't you split the heavens? Why don't we split the heavens? Elijah did it. Why can't we? Moses split the sea. Why can't we? Abraham is called something interesting. He's really a New Testament character. He's called what? Father of faith. You know what that literally means? He fathered the faith of mankind. He fathered Jesus Christ through Isaac. Now, Mary and Joseph were the father of Jesus, I know, but hear what I'm saying. The Word says, and this seed that God promised Abraham, who was Isaac, in the New Testament, it says, and these seeds weren't many as you supposed, but these seeds were one, which is Christ. So God birthed in Abraham His faith by giving Abraham His word and then said, believe me because I brought you to the place of impossibility. Because that's the only place that faith is going to birth a nation. And Abraham gave birth to nations before he ever had Isaac. Because through his faith, through the faith God had given him as a gift, Jesus said, when the religious leaders were giving him a hard time, as they always did, and as they still like to do to all of us, he said, Abraham saw me. And they said, you're not even 50 years old yet. What are you talking about? Now we know you're wrong. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. Sorry, guys, we like to feel like we just got, you know, a new, we've got it. Abraham knew what we should know. Jesus said, Abraham saw me. He rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. If he can see it, I see it. God quickened me a while back, and I just went like, I'm so sorry. I've been thinking about waiting for you when you didn't leave me. I don't see you anymore coming back for me. I see you coming with me because you never left me. Those saints of God, we're it. Where do you think they're coming from? Those witnesses and testimonies where no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The church is going to rise up today. There is no tomorrow. Today. And God is going to give you the treasures of nations as an offering because you bear witness to the glory of God and His faith. It is the faith of Jesus Christ. Not just faith in Him, but literally the faith of Jesus Christ. Or where else do you think you got it? And if it came from God, it's who He is. And when God gives, He gives His fullness, just like He did when He gave Jesus Christ. God's serious. He's a serious God. And you should approach Him seriously, joyfully, thankfully, but honorably. Lord God of all that is and was and is to come, don't talk to Him like He's off in the distance somewhere. He told you He was not. He said, I am close, I am near by you. My word is even in your mouth. You are the body of Christ. I urge you by the mercies of God, wake up. Be quickened by the Holy Spirit and bear witness to Jesus Christ as we are commanded by His word. Jesus is with you in it all. But the revelation that He showed me is I don't see Him over my shoulder anymore. I don't see Him beside me anymore, although I know He is. Every time I hear myself speak the word, I hear Him. He died once for all. But let me show you His eternal power. Just like the coming you've been waiting for. He is present with us. He died once for all. He raised once for all. And it never happens again, right? Every time someone is born again, He's born again. Every time someone takes a cross, He takes a cross. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Every time someone is born and baptized in water, I had the honor of baptizing my two nieces a week or two ago. He's risen again. Listen to what He said. You are risen with me in my likeness. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He's never put to the wooden cross for sins. But the reality of that moment exists every single time someone comes and lays their life down. He said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to lay your life down just like I did. And who are we? The body of Christ. That moment of power will exist throughout eternity. There are three scars that Jesus will never be healed of. One's in His hands. One's in His feet. And the one's in His side. Because they're not wounds of the flesh. They're testimony of the Spirit for you. That of Him, through Him, and to Him, we are born again. And He's always present with us in His fullness. do not deny any glory or any appearing that He will make Himself known in. Receive them all. And know it will go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And that's who you are. You are the redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of the one and only true living God. And He lives and He reigns and He rules forevermore in you. Now He said, your life, you are dead and your life is hid in Christ with God. He can't go anywhere without you. That's why the Word says He's seated, we're seated with Him in heavenly places. He can't go anywhere without you. Do you understand? My God, He is a Spirit. And I'm going to say it one more time. If you think He can't understand your pain, I'm going to tell you He can understand it better than you would imagine. But you can't understand His, because there isn't anyone in this room, anyone viewing, or anyone that's ever lived or ever will live, that has taken on all the sin of mankind without being guilty for a single thing, kept His mouth silent, and experienced all the dread, the horror, the terror, the pain, the absence, the separation of the Father in one body, in one moment's time, except Jesus Christ. So don't say He doesn't understand your pain or where you're coming from. He knows it very, very well. And if you'll just believe God and know the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. He is a restorer of your soul. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You are the form He wanted. Even if you feel like you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this body that God is raising up, they don't scream at devils and demons. We fear no evil, for God is with us. His rod of instruction and correction and direction, as you have heard today, leads you. It guides you. It becomes a comfort to you. Give me correction. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, which are no enemies at all, because when a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him. Your cup runs over. He anoints your head with oil. Only good can happen to you all the days of your life, because He's called you to dwell in His presence now and forevermore. And it is without end. And you're there with Him. And He's so close to you, you can't see Him until you hear yourself say what He says. Until you express the faith that He is in you. Christ with you is the hope of glory being revealed. And this is the greatest day of your life. If you believe the Lord, give Him praise this morning. Stand with me if you would today. God is serious. He's serious about His love for you. He was serious about your salvation. He was serious about your redemption. He was serious about you having a pure conscience, so nothing, not your own mind or anyone else, could ever say, remember, you're unworthy. Remember, you did this. Remember, you did that. Remember, you are dead. That person died with Christ, was buried with Him, and is raised with Him. So who are you? And since He is He which was and is to come, who were you? You were those who were being called to realize who you are. You're a seed of promise. Seed doesn't look anything like what it is until it dies to itself. And then it remembers when it dies to itself where it came from. And it becomes the same thing. That's who you are. You are the body of Christ. And we declare and we pray, hear, O heavens of God. Whatever we release from the earth is released from the heavens. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in the heavens. Why? God is bound to His creation by His word and His love. Jesus, we thank You that we don't have to wait for You to come and get us out of trouble. There's a furnace, You're there, and we become a witness of how great You are in the flame. If there's water and a sea before us, by Your breath, God, You make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. But the testimony and the witness that we bear makes nations bow their knee before those that serve You and acknowledge that You are the true God, that we fulfill that word. They will call You kings and priests. They will show You favor and honor. And they will acknowledge that God Almighty is present with You. As the staff was in the hand of Moses, Father, because it took the faith of God, which was Your word in him, to pick it up when it became a serpent, and then it became the staff of God in his hand, so with Your body and so with Your church, so with You. You've taken up what looked fearful in Your hand and said, according to the word of the Lord, and God will give You rule. No one is going to tell you, yes, the Lord is your yes and your amen. And when God says yes, He has given you a different form of glory. So wait upon the glory of the Lord, which glory is revealed on in you. And don't wait for it, because it is with you. From glory to glory, from faith to faith. For it is written, the redeemed shall live by faith. And Father, we give You praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. There is a vast opening in the heavens of God today. I see the Lord appearing in His glory. I see nations crying out saying, what is this? And the body describing what is being seen, for we are His witnesses. We are the body of Christ. We are those chosen. God has made us eligible, and He has called us, and He has granted us His favor. He has given us the authority and the power in the nations of the earth to reign and rule in Christ Jesus from the literal heavens of God. Thus heaven and earth unite through the body of Jesus Christ. For only through Him can all things be united. And He says, I am with you. I dwell among you. I fill you. I have commanded My Spirit to make its abode and dwelling within you. And He will lead you in the way that you should go. He will not speak of Himself, but only what He hears from the Father. And you will hear heaven speak, and you will declare the word of the Lord. And as you speak, the Lord will answer, for it is His word dwelling in you. For look, the word of the Lord is close to you. It is in your own mouth. Even the word of truth, the word of prophecy, and the word of witness. And what is this prophecy? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord is ever present with us in fullness and in power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give God praise today. We praise and love You, Father. Great and mighty King. Everlasting One, Lord of Peace. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise Him. Praise Him. Just think about Him for a minute. Just talk to Him for a minute. Try not to ask Him for anything except His will. Because everything you'll ever need and far beyond that lies within a surrendered knee to the will of the Father. Jesus. Henry, you have been informed, called to foster an idea that is not yours. To foster an idea that as you begin to speak on it, becomes a revelation. And there isn't anything that you have to secure. You don't have to secure your borders. The Lord will secure everything around you. All the Lord requires is that you release what He has anointed you to foster. You have a foster's heart. A heart to foster your son. A heart to foster those that come to you. A heart to look for the best, because you were fostered too. Because the Lord chose you and He became the true Father that you knew. The Father you felt love from in a way you had never felt before. So when the Lord saved you, He didn't deliver you just out of anything. He brought you into something you had never experienced as a child. So you became a child for the first time, the second time. And the Lord says, remember what it is to be fostered and to be loved and to foster and to love. So I've given you and am giving to you by insight, it is in you, of revelation, to carry a word without consideration of what someone may or may not say. It is not for you to please those that speak against you or that speak for you. It is for you to honor the word of the Lord, for the word of the Lord in you is serious. It is one thing to humble yourself and consider yourself nothing. But it is an elevation of understanding to consider that who He is in you is everything. And with that, even a greater sense of awareness and boldness to that fostering Spirit of God that rests on you, that you can speak from that. And don't worry about the debris that God removes from the room. He wants you to see how clean the house is, for He is the purger, and He is the one that makes it clean and makes it right. So honor the Lord in that He has given you the word to speak with boldness, not trying to drive anything in or out, but letting the word of the Lord do what the word of the Lord does. It divides, it makes alive, and it discerns, and it makes light come, and it brings the separation so the two are clearly understood, so you know the right from the wrong, the light from the dark, and the truth from a lie. His word is truth, and His word is in you. 2025 is a revelatory year for you of transformation, and within that, God restore your flesh. And the Lord is the God of all that you are. Believe Him. And the long life you have taught is living in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Eternal God, present God, holy God, mighty God, Lord of the heavens and of the earth. If you really, really, really believe, really, really, really believe that He leads you in the way that you should go, not you have to try and find it, but He leads you in the way you should go. You're going to go the way He wants you to go. And even if you feel you've stepped out of the way, God uses all things. He used a mule. You know, I'm going to say this to you. Atheists and agnostics, I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for them. I pray their salvation become their reality through Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful for them because they bring up some of the most curious questions that make us answer in ways we wouldn't have thought to answer before. And all it does is enlighten. Because the Lord is your shepherd, you will not want. He said, be ready to answer when a question is asked of you for the hope that lies within you. Even the atheists become a witness to the servant of the Lord, the child of God, that God's word will be in your mouth when you've asked a question that may seem like it's without an answer, and God will bring a revelation through you, just like He said, when they bring you before the judges and the rulers, don't worry about what you're going to say. My word is in your mouth. You have to know it. I prophesy that dreams are going, you're going to dream like you have not dreamt dreams before. This body, you're going to dream dreams like you have not dreamt before. They will be straight from the heavens of God. You will understand them. You will feel what they mean, even if you can't describe them for 3 days at a time. And through what God says, He will bring it to pass. I will do no thing except I reveal my word, my secrets, through my servants, the prophets. In the last days, says God, you will prophesy. All flesh will prophesy, young and old. And the old will dream dreams, and the young will see visions. And on my people, says God, I will pour out of all my spirit on all flesh. Today is that day. Peter recognized it. I recognize it. This is the hour of the Lord. This is the day of God's favor. And our world is transforming into the light of the wonder of the glory and the kingdom of God. It is here, and so are we, and so is He. We not only belong to Him, He belongs to us. He is my God and my Lord and your Savior and your Redeemer and your great and mighty King. He is the Lord everlasting. And as I've spoken, peace of God comes on you and covers you and clothes you. Don't just go. Go rejoicing. Go rejoicing. Give the Lord a shout in the house.